This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
5 days out from NFL free agency, but before the Lions can add on the outside, they got to take care of internal. Get their house in order. 5 questions, 5 days out.
Yeah, it's kind of like, let's get everybody up to date where things stand. They've been very quiet compared to some teams in the league. You can't do a lot in the last 6 weeks, but there are things teams can do. They really haven't done anything. So we're going to call this the Lions offseason reveal from an internal perspective. So Aiden Hutchinson's fifth-year option is a no-brainer. Deadline's May 1st. Do you extend him this offseason, or do you wait to see his recovery?
I think from the Lions' perspective, you want to get him under contract long-term as quickly as possible. The cost is only going to go up. Having said that, on Aiden Hutchinson's side of things, do you want to sign a contract right now? He was leader in the clubhouse when he got hurt to be defensive player of the year. If he is able to return this year and play at that level or better, now all of a sudden, if he is defensive player of the year, it adds numbers and it adds big numbers to that contract. So I don't know that you're not going to get any more commas in it, but you are going to get a higher number. Instead of $30 million a year, is it 35? Is it 36? What do they do in terms of the guaranteed money over the course of that contract? So the question isn't, do the Lions need to do this? The question is, does Aiden Hutchinson do this now, take the guaranteed money and the big contract, or does he bet on himself and say, you know what, I think there's more there?
I just think coming off an injury, you want financial security. I would think both parties desperately want to get a big deal done for Aiden Hutchinson. Aiden's a culture guy. He's a work ethic guy. He hardly ever leaves the field, right? I mean, when he was healthy, he played damn near every snap. He's going to get paid. He'll be among, if not the highest paid pass rushers this offseason. Get it done.
Does it happen at the same time as we saw the ones last year, where it's basically right up to the draft?
Well, he was tracking to be the highest paid defensive player before he got hurt this year. If I were him and his agent, I would still demand that.
And if I'm the Lions, I'd pay it.
Well, but here's the other thing. Do you wait and see what Dallas does with Micah Parsons? Because if they set the market with him, is Aiden Hutchinson going to make more than Micah Parsons?
Well, that was part of Brad jumping out in front of the golf stuff. Is it's only going to go up. Pay him now.
But my
but you're
point
saying
is
you should wait.
Again, it takes two to tango.
I would suspect, though, what you described there from Parsons and signing before Hutch, I would actually think it would be the reverse, because it reminds me of Jamar Chase in Cincy. He simply wants to be the highest paid non-quarterback in football. I believe Micah Parsons probably wants to be the highest paid defensive player in football and will not re-sign until Hutch does.
The difference, though, is Hutch has 2 years, because they're going to pick up the fifth-year option. Micah Parsons is going into his fifth year.
True, but still, I mean, look at Chase now. Chase is entering his fifth year. I mean, that's where I just think they're the same type of player versus,
yep.
You know, if Hutch can get the highest right now, he would just take it. All right, Jameson Williams also will likely get his fifth-year option picked up. Is there any world, though, where the Lions would extend J-Mo just like Hutch this offseason?
Look, there was a point in the middle of the season where I was even unsure about the fifth year. That's out of the window. He played well. 1,000-yard season, explosive. Yeah, I'm cool with J-Mo getting the fifth year. In terms of a long-term extension, they got bigger fish to fry. I wouldn't be rushing to extend him.
I wouldn't be rushing to extend him either because they could do what Cincinnati did with T. Higgins. You can use the franchise tag on them. And so you pick up that fifth-year option. It's going to be around $15 million, a little bit higher than $15 million. Those numbers came out, I think it was late Friday. And because he hasn't been in a Pro Bowl, hasn't made the required number of starts or playing time, he's going to be on the lower end. But you pick up that option, and then you have options. Because let's just say something were to happen with Goff and things weren't going well this year. You could use him as trade bait to get more draft picks and move on at that point. You could franchise tag him. Now you're 6 years in. Where is Amon-Ra St. Brown at that time? What other injuries might happen by that time? That all plays a part in it, but you don't have to make that decision now. You pick up the fifth-year option so you have time.
So the franchise tag is a necessary evil in this league. This year, only two were handed out, lowest amount since 2006. Mm-hmm. Players hate it. However, I would say that Jameson Williams fits the profile of a guy that should be tagged. And what you're saying is he would then be a Lion for the next three seasons without you giving him a contract.
Correct.
Well,
and only if he deserves it each year.
Yes, you're making right. him pay for developing late.
Yep.
Players hate it, but if you're a first-round pick and you have that fifth year picked up, that's guaranteed money,
yep.
which is $15 million. That franchise tag is also fully guaranteed in whole, which I can't remember the numbers for T. Higgins. It's going to go up a little bit, but it's like $21 million. So in 2 years, fifth year and sixth year, he's going to be making, what is it, $36 million, 100% guaranteed?
It's better than handing him a $100 million deal.
Yeah.
All right, the offensive line has a big question to answer with Kevin Zeitler. Should the Lions bring him back? And if they do, does that mean Glasgow becomes a backup to Mahogany?
Yes and yes.
Ooh.
I do think that they should bring him back, and they should let both him and Glasgow duke it out as to who is going to be the starting guard at one of those guard positions. Mahogany, great pickup, and I thought he played well. Now, he's going to have to prove it, mm-hmm. but you have the reliability of two veterans if Mahogany, has a sophomore slump to start the season or doesn't do something right this offseason, which I don't believe is going to happen, but you have a security blanket in both those guys. I would love to see Zeitler back. I thought he played well last year. The question I have is durability, but you have two guys in Glasgow and Zeitler that you can get 17 games out of.
And Glasgow then becomes a flex piece if anything happens to Frank because he can play center. No, this is a great problem to have. If you have Mahogany step into that starter's role and bring back Zeitler, yes and yes, I'm right there with you.
All right, something backup QB is a clear need. Do you agree with that, or do you trust Hooker as the number two? If you don't trust Hooker, then they need to sign someone for competition. Of these three names, who do you like the most? I don't know if you like any of them. You got to pick one. Trey Lance, that's John's boy.
Was
that's
swing and a miss.
That was a fun fair stray. Zach Wilson. Or my boy, Kyle Trask.
Okay, the Lions don't agree that Hooker is the number two, as evidenced from the playoff game, right? So I'll just take their lead on this and say, yeah, you need to add a vet in the room. you're going to make me pinch my nose from that group. Lance probably has the highest upside. I don't love it, but at least it's a body competition and someone who could develop.
Lance may have the highest upside because he could be, he's kind of like a Hooker, right? You've got both options. You could run, you could pass, you could do, I know.
He charges for sex? How is he like a hooker?
I don't know him that personally. Zach Wilson does intrigue me a little bit because I think if you get what we think we're getting with John Morton in developing a quarterback and the relationship that we believe he'll have with Goff, can he, as well as Mark Brunell, get enough out of Zach Wilson? Zach Wilson is not a lost cause. Is he a starting quarterback in this league? Absolutely not. But I do think that you could get him to fit in this offense better to get you out of a fourth quarter or a situation where you've got to get a couple of series out of a quarterback. I think he fits better than either of those other guys.
If they add Zach Wilson, Metro Detroit moms, Be on the lookout.
Oh, I'll say this. I think Lance is a nothing. I mean, he went to the Cowboys and they couldn't find
You're
a way
right.
to get him in.
Right.
What's the Raiders next and it'll be out of the
You're
league.
Right.
I like Zach Wilson probably the most as a player out of this, but I will say Trask fits Goff's mobility and would slide in and keep the offense mostly the same in terms of just how you run it. You wouldn't have to change the playbook necessarily because he's a statue.
Yeah.
Yes.
Finally, let's focus on the defense. We're going to have to be quick here. Will these players be on the Lions roster in 2025? Carlton Davis.
Yes.
Derek Barnes.
No.
Yes.
Levi Onwuzurike.
No.
No. Although Brad loves him, but no.
Ife Malifonwu.
No.
No.
Marcus Davenport.
No.
No, because they better upgrade that spot.
Right.
I can see him coming back cheap.
No. And
one more year. I can see that being like a depth guy.
The issue with Ife and Marcus Davenport is neither of those guys can stay healthy.
May I clearly state, Tom Milliken does not want Marcus Davenport back, but I could see them bringing him back the
I'm
way
glad
they behave.
You clarified that.
Okay. Five.
I don't want him back. No.
Five talking points and questions 5 days ahead of free agency.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Okay, do you want to start with the draft crush or the free agent that I think they're going to go after?
Start with the free agent.
Free agent, all right. So yesterday we kind of got into a conversation. We do this with just about everything that happens in the National Football League. And that is, how does it impact us? So when Devontae Adams, when word came out that he would be released, does it impact us? Probably not as far as a receiver signing here in Detroit, unless he for some reason decides, I want to make one last run at a Super Bowl. I'm going to take way less money and go to a team that's got a chance to win. Which, you know, some players make that choice. Others say, you know what, I want to, this is my last chance at a big contract. I want to maximize whatever my last contract could be, et cetera, et cetera. It seems awfully unlikely that Devontae Adams would end up in Detroit. Could he end up in one of our rivals? I mean, I guess I don't suspect he would go to Minnesota. I don't expect he'd go to Chicago, given their receiver depth charts. And I doubt he would go back to Green Bay. But anyway, so, you know, the impact he has is, you know, maybe out of the division. And he could have an impact on us. But I started thinking about the Lions' recent moves. What they do with the third wide receiver spot, they have calculated, gone out, and gotten what I don't want to use the term slow, but they're not worried about speed. They're worried about size. And they authentically identify a real third wide receiver, a guy who's, they don't go out and sign like a great wide receiver or anything like that. I think they specifically identify, target, and go after a third wide receiver. And they do a very good job at finding that guy to come in and play the role. It was Josh Reynolds. It was Tim Patrick. These were third wide receivers or guys who, you know, fit into the role nicely. So who is that guy this year? Well, I got to tell you, as far as receptions, this guy was a fourth wide receiver. Sorry, he was the third wide receiver on his previous team. He did get into the end zone quite a bit. And he is a free agent. And he is big. He's a 6'2 receiver. I'm identifying Tennessee's Nick Westbrook-Ikhine as a receiving target for the Lions. He was third on that team in receptions. They didn't have great quarterback play. I think he could be a perfect third wide receiver here, and he's down the list of available wide receivers in free agency. Another guy that might make sense at this point in his career is Keenan Allen, Chicago, 32 years old. Probably won't be the market for him like there were some other guys, but those would be two guys I'd look at, but Westbrook-Ikhine, he might be too good in this role, but he did get to the end zone 9 times last year.
I'm going to throw a curveball name at you.
Let's hear it.
As I rolled the wrist over for curveball.
Yeah, that was a 12-6 curve.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't like to deceive too much. The pitch will do what it has to do. It's a wide receiver who the last couple of years has not played much. Only played 14 games in the last 2 years combined.
It doesn't stop them. That was Tim Patrick.
Exactly. Doesn't stop them. And he had an excellent track record prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Amari Cooper.
Mm.
Big name, but not coming off big years. Coming off a big contract, but he's made over $130 million in his career, and he needs to reestablish himself as being a guy. I feel like this screams one-year contract, one-year prove it to the NFL that you can still get something done.
Interesting.
6'1" wide receiver. Obviously, he's got a track record of being very good, but hasn't played a whole lot the last couple of years.
Yeah, and probably again coming to Detroit, chance to fit in and make a run here. I'm looking at, you know, projections of him as basically being a third wide receiver. That's not a bad one.
But the player I think that they're going to look at in free agency. I was just going out with another wide receiver there. But I'll say it's going to be a cornerback. And if they're not going to re-sign Carlton Davis, because he may price himself out of it, mm-hmm. There's a player from the Saints, Paulson Adebo, who's good size, 6'1", 200 pounds. And tell me this doesn't scream Brad Holmes. Coming off a broken femur in week 7.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
But this is a guy who's been an excellent corner, and he's only going to be 26 years old entering the year. In the 4 years with the Saints, he had 10 interceptions and 23 pass breakups and a ton in the last couple of years.
Well, it is. While they could go big,
it going feels big like would be Carlton Davis.
Yeah, it feels like they are more likely going to be that sit around and wait, and then get that really good deal on a player outside of the top tier of free agencies. That's kind of free agents. That's kind of the way it's worked for them. But we shall see how it plays out. There is a interesting report somebody sent to us.
It was 14 games combined last year because he played with two different teams last year.
Okay.
My bad. Gotcha. The last 2 years.
ESPN's Jeremy Fowler is saying that the Jacksonville Jaguars have interest in adding Carlton Davis. So that's something to keep an eye on. I believe Jacksonville is one of the teams with quite a bit of cap space, but I just feel like Jacksonville always has a bunch of cap space.
Because they're a mess. They're a train wreck.
They're always releasing people.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they're afraid to spend the pounds. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant money. The dollars.
Yeah.
Not that they're going to go to, or euros going to go to London or anything.
Maybe they've got, because none of their own guys are worth re-signing. They don't get to the second contracts. Is that why?
Perhaps.
Yeah. Anyway, 248-539-9797. The draft crush.
Okay? Yes.
So, you know, you were later than we've ever been in draft preparation because we had a football team worth talking about.
We've already done a Carson Anderson 1.0.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do at 28 to figure out who to eliminate.
We did it last year.
Yeah, and I don't think it was as successful as it was when they were picking in the top 10. We could discuss it, but as far as the draft prep, there's two ways to go about draft preparation that we do here. One is, who do I like? Two is, who do I think the Lions would
right.
like?
Yeah.
There are two different things. Yeah, because the Lions sort of have this track record and pattern. Gator, do they like guys who were captains of their college team?
Yeah. Good character guys, yeah.
Do they like guys that interview well?
Yes.
Yep. They like guys that ooze leadership.
Yep.
Do they like guys that seem to eat, sleep, and breathe football?
Yes.
So this guy gave apparently a super memorable locker room speech over a big win over a rival. He gets rave reviews for his leadership. He was a captain of his college team, and everyone is saying he interviewed well. And he gave a quote at the podium at the combine that I think oozes Detroit Lion. I think it's the kind of thing he would say, and the Lions would say, we'll take you right now. He plays a position that typically doesn't go that high in the first round, but he is starting to show up in mocks before the Lions pick. If he falls to them, I could see them jumping all over this guy. His quote at the podium that I am referencing is the following. I love football because the brand of football that I play, I make guys not love football anymore.
No. I don't want to play anymore.
And I'm like, I read that and I'm like, Lions. And that is Alabama guard Tyler Booker. Now, like I said, he's not showing up on a lot of mocks being on the board when the Lions pick at 28. He is a guard. It feels like a lot of people favor them going interior offensive line.
Well, he's also listed as a number one guard from mm-hmm. Scouting.
Yep. If he's there, then I think he oozes Lions player.
I can see that, and I will concur that that sounds like everything that they look for. I'll throw another name at you. Same position.
Yeah.
But add in a little twist of versatility, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
Does Brad Holmes like versatility?
They love versatility.
Dan Campbell likes himself some versatility.
Yes, they do.
If he's there, I think this is, and it's a name that we brought up a bunch, and with good reason, and it's Gray Zabel.
Yeah.
6'6", 300 pounds out of Nodak State, and he can play guard, he can play center, he can step in right away and play either. You know, but he doesn't have to step in right away and play center, but he can step in right away and play guard if need be, and I think need be. This is a big guy with that versatility, and they can go a number of different directions with the 20th pick overall. But I feel like if this guy is there, I'd be surprised. I think he'll go in the 20s. Maybe have a chance to go in the top, you know, in the, I guess, 15 and back. But this might be. I wonder if this is a guy that the Lions would trade up for. Like, when they look at players and they say, we got first-round grades on four players or whatever it is. You know, these are guys we really want to go after, like they did last year with Terry and Arnold. Does he fit that bill?
248-539-9797. We'll get to your phone calls and feedback when we continue. Who is the guy you think the Lions will fall in love with? Who do you think the Lions will fall in love with? Not what you would do, but you read the tea leaves and you think, that guy, he reads like a Detroit Lion. Let's go to DJ in Detroit. You're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, DJ.
Fellas, what up, though? How y'all doing today?
DJ, all right, DJ.
Yeah, so I want to talk to the screener, Kenny. I had some. I was going left, but I'm about to go right real quick just to elaborate on what you guys were saying. Mm-hmm. The Lions type of player, the intangibles, a football guy, and that all kind of thing, I think we can narrow this down, fella, because you know how you be bored at night, laying in bed, and you just be thinking of some stuff, so you get to Googling? I Googled the last 3 years. The top 30 guys that the Lions have brought in, they've drafted three of those guys each year. Yeah. So I think if you put what you guys just said, they're a Lions fit, if they sound like a Lions guy, and everything you just said, that's probably who they're going to draft. You can narrow it down. Like last year, they brought Manu in for top 30. They brought Terry Arnold in for top 30. And they brought Vaki in for top 30. The year before, they took three guys they brought in for top 30. So I think there's, you know, a way to narrow it down, guys. That's number one.
I think you're
number
right.
Two,
I think you're right. They do their homework. Yeah. They aren't trying to conceal much, and they love interviews, man.
Yeah, and particularly, again, the top 30 interview, because I just look like they didn't really draft none of the guys they interviewed at the combine. I've been paying attention. But when they bring those guys into a top 30, it seems like each year they draft three guys from that top 30. So that means that they're really interested. But what I wanted to tell you guys when I was listening earlier, we need to pay attention to the Bears, fellas. See, my biggest thing when Ben Johnson went to the Bears was that offensive line in Chicago sucks, so he's not going to have time to get his offense crony. Well, today they got Tooney. They got former Pro Bowler Jonah Jackson, and as a guy, a buddy of mine and yours, just hit me and texted me and said, we got a lot more trouble in the neighborhood. So I think we really need to be paying attention to these guys boosting up that offensive line. You know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I think we all agree. We love having a great offensive line. Got to keep adding to it. And the Bears are, I think they're going to be smart about this, and they've got the draft capital, and they've got the cap space to go ahead and make things happen. And, you know, do they do a smart thing by taking on the entire salary of Jonah Jackson, who's been injury prone? Maybe not, but you know, look, Jonah Jackson at 100% is a really good offensive lineman.
There's a risk involved.
Pro Bowler.
But there is a big risk because he's not 100%.
I just something to keep an eye on. It got me a little thinking, like, wow, Ben Johnson, he's trying to recreate an offensive line to get his offensive going. So it was just something I wanted to bring you guys attention. I'm just watching from afar.
Yeah, so they've...
I think every team wants to build an offensive line.
They do. They have committed financially to doing so. Tooney is due a contract here. And, you know, Kansas City got out from under that financial burden. He's a good player. There's no doubt
really
about
good
it.
Player.
And but he is 32. And if he's seeking a big contract or a big contract extension, the Bears are putting a lot of money into the guard position, which is fine. But I think most of the response around the league is they took on all of Jonah Jackson's salary.
Yeah, it was a big response. But if you're the Bears and you're building your team and getting it ready for the upcoming season and you can be competitive, I mean, they have holes on the team. But I think they're kind of obvious stuff that they have to do. It was obvious to me that they had to add to their offensive line. They've got some weapons offensively, and they've got a young quarterback, and now they bring in a coach that they think can work wonders with them. They've got players on defense. I mean, it's just it's. I don't know if it's a sleeping giant necessarily, but this is the NFC North is a very competitive division, and if the Vikings go out and get a quarterback for their team, then nothing's going to change. You're going to have all four teams being really competitive. Because I do think the Bears are vastly improved.
I see a future. I see a future where people are saying that the Chicago Bears overpaid and overextended financially for two aging guards. That future to me doesn't look like it's that far off. And given the Bears' track record, I know they have a new coach, but given the Bears' track record, we'll see. Kansas City moved on from Tyreek Hill before he got a big contract. He's still a really good player, continued to win, and won without him. Joe Tooney, again, really good player, but Kansas City, you know, moving on from him at this time is really intriguing to me. So, yeah, Bears have invested a lot in the offensive line, but I wouldn't be totally shocked if they have overextended themselves financially at that position.
I agree with you, Doug. There is the Bears tend to, they win the offseason headlines a lot, and they have nothing to show for it, ever. And I get it, new coach this year, but same front office. And they go out and make these splash signs. Remember how much money they spent on the defense a year ago, went out and then got DeAndre Swift and Keenan Allen, right, and all this stuff. It never works out. Never translates to wins. Jonah Jackson, I'm not worried about. Like, he's just his play has gone down. He's been injured again. I think it was ridiculous they took on his entire contract. And then I'm sorry, Ben. I gotta go back to it. What happened to your hero quarterback to go out and make plays and athleticism? All of a sudden, you're building the offensive line. We'll see where this goes. We'll see where this goes, Ben.
But that's
Ben.
That's a big difference to the Bears, though. We can talk about it out in the past. They've made mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake, but they just hired a new coach.
Yeah.
So as you have said on many an occasion, you do a reset every time you bring in a new regime or a new coach.
Yeah, you start all over. But
so their past still doesn't matter.
I don't know if that's – I think that's true of the coaching. I don't know if it's true of the general manager. This is the same guy. So, you know, the coach could be saying, this is what I need – and so that's fair to say he might be impacting, having a positive impact on, is it Poles? Ryan Poles, is that his name?
Yes.
Thank you. So he could be having, you know, helping Ryan Poles make better decisions. But still the same guy. But yeah, I would reset the clock to zero, but it's not a full-scale organizational reset because they still got the same GM. We shall see how it plays itself out. Feedback coming in. We're talking about guys we think the Lions. We think the Lions will target. I went and think Tyler Booker, the guard from Alabama, captain of his team, rave reviews of how he interviewed, locker room guy. He gave a speech after the Auburn win that all the players were talking about. His quote at the podium at the Combine sounds like a Lions type quote. I love football because of the blend of brand of football I play. I make guys not love football anymore. Marvin Sterling Heights says, Doug only likes Booker because he was contemplating naming his oldest son Booker.
This is partially true.
This is not true at all. Well, the part about contemplating naming my son Booker is true.
Yeah.
The only reason I like Booker is not that. It's. Do you remember, was it Leighton Vander Esch?
Yeah.
Leighton Vander Esch won me over with combine podium quotes.
Yes, you were a big Leighton Vander Esch guy.
He drives out in the Idaho woods and sleeps in the back of his pickup in a sleeping bag through rain and snow.
Who's the guy who was tackling trees that the Lions drafted from? Was it Penn State defensive lineman? Had like the one season where he had seven sacks.
Oh,
Zettel?
Anthony Zettel.
Yeah.
Tackling trees.
David Bancroft says Jack Sawyer, OSU. Not at all.
Well, Jack Sawyer, if you're going to finish your career, that's the way to finish your career. In college, to give yourself a springboard to the NFL, because what your eyes saw last was really impressive.
Yeah. It'd be good for him. Congratulations. But that has little to do with what I think of him as an NFL prospect.
Yeah, I don't want him at 28. I'd consider him later in the draft, but not at 28.
Elijah Molden, cornerback, L.A. Chargers, my pick at corner. He is a free agent. Yeah, that's a guy you think the Lions will fall in love with? Okay. I wish you gave a reason why, whoever you are that sent that. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. Give us the guy you think that the Lions will fall in love with, whether it be a free agent or a draftable prospect. Who stands out? Who's a player that you think checks the boxes of what the Lions typically are looking for? And is there panic about what the Bears are doing? I'm not panicked about what the Bears are doing.
No, but I think the Bears, they're clearly trying to rebuild an offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be met with some skepticism. But if you're a Bears fan, I think you're saying to yourself at the very least, all right, well, they're putting in resources to go do something. You know, Thune is a really good offensive lineman, really good. And Jackson can be, but he's been hurt.
All right, welcome in on a Tuesday. Good to have everybody aboard. We got a jam-packed show for you. Top 10 Rico not in the building. Top 10 Rico not here. The dress shirt is
top 10.
Top 10 Rico.
You know what? I'll bring it back tomorrow.
Yes. You got a top 10 program. Act like it. All right, let's get to business, shall we? I want to jump in on something. Because I heard it discussed a little bit on the morning show. I know Channel 7 did a report on it. And there's a lot. This is a fan issue. Now, it's a fascinating one. That there are Lion fans getting their tickets revoked for violation of policy. And it's not hurling garbage on the field or hurling racial epithets or throwing ice cream cones at children. It is a violation of the sale policy. Now, what was really interesting is when the story broke, obviously it had hit on social media. I don't have social media, but that doesn't preclude people from texting me and going, hey. So one of the fans who lost their tickets 15 years ago is a guy who cut my hair. I knew him as Paul or Pavel. He's from Sterling Heights. Now, I can just disclose you that this dude was the biggest Lions fan then. Clearly, I don't think anything changed. As I would laugh my ass off seeing him in every TV commercial with the team telling you to buy tickets. So clearly, he didn't become less of a fan. So he ended up calling the morning show. And it was weird to hear his voice. I hadn't talked to him in probably 10 years. The point is, this story is going to be a question, Rico, that I'd like to tackle with you and talk to the fans about is, okay, did the team do this guy dirty? Now, it's complicated, right? Because you have fans like this gentleman who moved to Philly. Life takes you different places. Guy's originally from Sterling Heights. Guy's been to every, I don't remember a time back when I would see him every couple weeks. Never missed a game. And I had some people go do a little deep dive into social media and his social platforms. Guy was at every game last year. I mean, home and away. Guy flies in every week.
Mm-hmm.
So the report from Channel 7 last night, I go, okay, this is going to pop off now. This is going to be more than, hey, did you hear the news? So we can play some audio. And it is complicated, but it comes back to a principal question. Did the team owe this guy more, yes or no? And can we all finally agree on something that our Uncle Mikey, Nona Mike, has preached to you now for two decades? These teams do not care about you. You are a number. But I was there for the pass back and forth, kinda don't care. You are a number. And if you're not going to pay, they put a bullet in your skull. And someone else takes your seat. You are but a footnote in history.
Mm-hmm.
I've always used the example. When the Yankees built that hideous new ballpark, there were families who had tickets since the days of Joe DiMaggio. I can't afford the price increases. So, gone. They don't care about you. So he called the morning show because John and Jim were stumbling around with this topic. They were struggling. And he called to set the record straight, which is this dude didn't sell tickets for money. He would sell some of his tickets to then buy the best seat he could in row one.
Yeah.
He owned 8 season tickets. He's owned tickets for 25 years.
Started, according to the conversation, bought tickets when he was 16, put them in his name at 18.
All correct.
And then when the team was bad, was encouraged, hey, would you like to purchase more seats?
This guy was tailgating during 0-16. Okay? Yeah. That's the type of dude you're talking about. Now, candidly, I haven't talked to him in 10 years. I'm not going to speak to who he is today. I can just tell you, I don't think the fandom died when you're at every home and away game and you're featured in the television commercial as, hey, buy tickets. You can be this human.
I think the fandom is still there.
Yeah, that's my point.
No, no, all right. I'm for the fact that he's like not trying to sue the team. He's just standing outside the building saying, will somebody talk to me?
And there's my, we'll get to that in a moment. Now, David has been kind enough. He edited the audio because, candidly, it was a bit long-winded and I want to be more effective for our people. So he was asked the question, well, how many tickets do you have? David, can you play sound one, please? That's classless. There's no other way around that. You don't even have to think what this guy was doing is right or wrong. And mind you, reinvested all the money. I hate the policy in sum total. See, to me, last I checked, I pay you for something that's mine.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the idea that the fine print on tickets is this is a privilege, these are not a guarantee, and boop, 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 boop. Now listen. You do X, Y, and Z. You cuss at people. You get in fights. You make fun of kids. You throw things at players.
Right.
You're gone. That's called a decency clause.
Right.
You know what I don't think the team's got a right to anymore? The buying and selling of tickets when they're in the business of buying and selling tickets, taking million-dollar deals with ticket brokerages.
Uh-oh.
Case in point. It's just factual. Right. Hey, it's the equivalent of? A team telling you, how dare you bet on our games. Cutscene presented by FanDuel.
Or there's a FanDuel casino right there at the ball field.
But how dare you? All right. Number two, David, how many tickets did he sell? And then the last one is, has he heard from the team? Rico foreshadowed it. Let me help
Sorry.
You. No. Number three, David. So here's my question, guys. Did the team do him dirty? And look, there is a wait list. I do understand that. But see, here's my problem. If you're mad at this guy for owning eight seats and selling them to get a better seat, that's not being a ticket broker. The ticket broker sells the seats and goes to Cayman Islands. He's also paying the freight. Let me tell you another dirty secret about owning tickets to sell them. It rarely works. Only when the team is great. And what I would advocate is this guy has spent his money, or as I used to tell him back in the day, lit his money on fire for 25 years. What did his loyalty get him? Not a phone call. See, this is where I think the Lions, they ought to make it right. And they ought to at least have a conversation of, all right, here's the deal. You ain't buying eight tickets, but you can. How much do you want to spend? And you can buy a pair. And we'll call it a day.
Well, see, here's the thing. Because according to the conversation he had with Cookies this morning, the seats that he buys, those front row seats, he was like, okay, you can keep the eight. Can I just buy the two and have my buddy sign them over to me?
Nope.
And those will be mine? No. Sorry. We good.
But do you, and I know you understand it, so maybe it was.
No.
It was about to be rhetorical. It's just. There is something I think Lions fans are going to have to get used to. It's that this illusion the team cares about you is just that. It's an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stop with the, well, I'm a real fan. No, you're a number. That's it. You're nothing more than a convenience. So now that the team is good and they've raised your ticket prices, by the way, I defended the team raising the prices. So I don't want to hear from anybody down there. You got a business to run, run it. This isn't how you run a business. I think these policies, that certainly the Lions are not alone, so let me just say, all sports. I think it is patently absurd when people buy season tickets that they are then told what to do with those tickets. Mm-hmm. All right?
Right.
This isn't the Arsenal Football Club. This ain't the EPL. Ain't nobody trying to hear it. People pay exorbitant money for those tickets. Life gets in the way. You want to sell them? You got a case of diarrhea? You don't feel like going? You do what you want to do. I think it's laughable that the team gets to do everything they want to do all the time. And the minute this guy didn't make any money. This guy went broke going to these damn games.
No, but they looked and found out that he sold his tickets. So when they did the audit, it was like, well, you sold all your tickets. So now you're just a ticket broker
on
your own.
So where's the conversation?
To me, the conversation is a man who's been buying season tickets since 16 and in his name since 18, and if he's in his 40, has invested so much in your organization. That's a real fan. He stuck by you when you were hot garbage water. And yet, now that you're on top.
You're not on top, though. That's the funniest part.
You can't even have a conversation. You know, even if it's we didn't approve of this, but let's work this out. Because this will be your warning. And this is because of the air quote loyalty that he paid in. He's put so much equity into this team.
Well, here's the best part. Oh, so it's okay for the team to use his image in all their commercial and marketing.
Yeah, when you told me that.
Bro, like, every time you watch a Lions game, they're like, call 1-800-LIONS-BONER. He's front and center in the commercial. The pregame hype video that they play. He's in it.
Yeah.
If the Lions want to make it right, A, you owe the guy a phone call. B, hey, let him buy the two most expensive tickets that are unaccounted for. Anybody's crazy.
Put him in the front row. He's no, seriously. It's an easy fix. Okay, we'll take away the A. Since you want to sit in the front row, pay the front row two seats.
That's it.
It's yours. Happy hype video day, and let's move forward.
Sell him again, you're dead.
Right.
Got it. But the point is, he was selling the eight to spend his money to still go to the game.
And he goes to the games on the road.
All of them. So, which is patently absurd, but God bless.
But right, for them to sit there and act like, well, you know, you're not a real fan, like.
Well, yeah, okay, and let me do this. 248-539-9797. Here's the email you get after 25 years of loyalty.
You want to give them to him next?
Yeah, you're right. You know what? I want to. That is personal growth by you. I was about to send us into a late break vortex. Nice job by you.
No, I would have been over at Spacey Sprocket's desk.
Inside reference, 248-539-9797. Did the Lions do this guy dirty, yes or no? And why do teams get to have these policies about what you do with your tickets? Curiosity.
Is it time for the Lions to consider a reunion with Darius Slay? He was released by the Philadelphia Eagles. John, what do you make of that possibility?
So there's just in regards to the Lions, I like the possibility. I like the depth that he provides, the experience, the confidence that he would be able to give, especially if he was in the same room as Terrion Arnold. We all know, hey, you get certain things from coaches. I've said this a number of times. One of the biggest advantages that I had when I went into the league was to be inserted into a veteran offensive line with guys around me that could help. They brought in Andy Heck, who is now the offensive line coach for the Kansas City Chiefs, who had played, I think he was a 10-year vet by that time. The amount that he helped me versus Russ Grimm, who is obviously a former player as well, but coach, like, you cannot have too many experienced voices, and it doesn't matter what the sport is. If he could still contribute as a player in certain situations, now we were going through the different things that he used to do versus what he does now, before the show, he's not going to be a guy that is going to be great at man coverage. And some of it has to depend on what type of defense is Calvin Shepard going to run. Is it going to still be the Aaron Glenn, we're going to take our risks, we're going to try and get home before you can get the ball off, all of those different things, versus he could still be a big-time contributor in zone coverage.
Yeah, like at 34 years old, probably not going step for step with elite receivers. That's not the guy he is anymore. He's not big play Slay. If the Lions don't bring back Carlton Davis, you're going to be looking for a proven veteran to play in the secondary with Rakestraw and Terrion Arnold.
Right.
Darius Slay checks the box as a veteran, but to your point, if he's not playing man, he can't be their number one, so you're still defaulting to Terrion Arnold being your number one, so I don't really think it solves
the Carlton Davis problem. Be a number one. I don't know that he takes that leap from year one to year two.
So if he's like CB4 on this team, great. He doesn't solve the Carlton Davis issue if you lose him in free agency.
Well, I mean, CB4, you know, he doesn't solve the Carlton Davis issue. That could still be addressed, but the jury's still out, obviously, on Rakestraw. Mm-hmm. What are we going to get from him? Is he a guy that's just going to be hurt all the time? I mean, he was hurt most of last year.
I should clarify. Amik Robertson is probably your three.
Right.
Terrion Arnold is probably your two. Carlton Davis is the one. Ideally, he comes back. If he signs with Jacksonville or somebody else, Slay comes in as the four, and Rakestraw is kind of a wild card, and you hope he emerges.
If he comes in as four, now it just depends on, I don't want to go any more than a year, and you can get creative with the contract, It's a two-year with avoidable, all of those different things. But how much is he going to, be worth for a year? And, somebody else may actually pay him more, and I think it's most likely that he ends up back in Philadelphia. this happens a lot where a guy gets cut and they clear his contract off the books, and then he signs for less than he was scheduled to make next year.
I think Slay has said he still has one more year in him, mm-hmm. and I think he would prefer it to be Philadelphia or Detroit, I think, are the two teams that, I mean, he's played for and would yeah. like to finish his career with. What do you guys think of a possibility of a Darius Slay reunion? Throw the number out, 248-539-9797. John, I do think corner is a sneaky, important spot here because we don't know what's going to happen with Carlton Davis.
Well, yes, we don't know, but this is not a one-for-one swap.
No.
And so even if you bring in Darius Slay, I think it's a great addition to the secondary, but it doesn't address the number one corner spot. And that's still something that they will either have to address with Carlton Davis, or they'll have to address in free agency. Because you're not going into this draft. It's not as deep as it was last year for the corner position. You've already dipped into it twice last year. You're not going to go picking at 28, picking at 60, and go on down the list to get a number one corner.
And you and I are on the same page that it would be a mistake to assume Terrion Arnold is the number one next season.
Yeah. I mean, it might be a nice surprise that he takes a bigger jump in year one to year two than even I think he can. I thought he, at the end of the year, played really good. I'm not going to say great. And you got to be able to put 17 games together. But I don't see him taking that leap from where he was last year in total, even at the end of the season, to being CB1.
Yeah, he graded out poorly. And some of this is they threw him into the fire, which you hope pay dividends in year two and moving forward, is he's got those live game reps. He still has all the physical traits that everybody fell in love with at the draft. And now he's got baptized by fire. Darius Slay, for example, got a lot better from his first year to his second year. Now, Darius was a second round pick and came in with lower expectations, but year one to year two for a corner, I absolutely believe there's a lot more for Terrion Arnold. But if you're chasing a Super Bowl, it feels silly to put him in that CB1 and pen and say he's going to be shut down guy from day one through the Super Bowl. You need a vet. Ideally, it's Carlton Davis. Free agency's next week. Franchise tags today, they're not going to tag Carlton Davis. But next week, we'll see if Carlton Davis is here or not. And Slay's probably a guy you circle back on. He's not a headliner for the free agent class. You know he may end up in Philly anyway, and this could be a moot point. But if he's kind of dangling out there, I see no issue with bringing in a guy who's won a Super Bowl, who's a veteran, who can stabilize the room.
Yeah, and again, I don't think I can underestimate how important it is to have, and it was great to have Carlton Davis in there with those young corners. Mm-hmm. It's great to have Amik Robertson in there. If Carlton Davis isn't going to be there, who could be a guy that could, you know, be a part of the development of that young secondary? Because I do think Terrion Arnold can be CB1. It's going to take a little bit of more work. It's going to take some experience. It's also going to take some confidence. And we know that Darius Slay exudes confidence.
He absolutely does.
3 o'clock. Good to have you with us. Odyssey.com Rewind. You missed anything? We talked a little Joey Bosa, Myles Garrett in hour one. Go get it if you want it. I want to turn our attention to something, and it's a little bit of a transition into, we just had this conversation about Aiden Hutchinson before we got to the Blitz. And I think something interesting happened yesterday, which was Max Crosby signed with the Raiders. Now, it's not only interesting because he's not on the market anymore, but it's interesting because it reset the edge rusher market. He signed 3 years, I believe $105 million, over 90 of it fully guaranteed. It's a very Kirk Cousins kind of deal. And it's the new way of doing things where a player is going to get fully guaranteed money. So I wanted to ask a question, and it's building off of one of our last callers who had a major concern about Hutch and how he was going to come back or how effective he would be right away, and none of us know. I'm going to show some faith that he's an incredibly hard worker, and he'll be really good next year. I just, again, whether it's 100%, 90%, man, I'm not a doctor. Leave me out of that mess. But here's the question. Seeing what Max Crosby got paid, $35 million a year, do you want to sign Hutch in the same way that you signed Sewell, in the same way that you signed Amon-Ra, in the same way that you have signed players early? Or do you risk it for the biscuit? I mean, Aiden's entering year four. He's on a broken twig. The last time we saw him running, he looked like Kenny going to the bathroom. Like, you got to come back and perform. You got to show me you're still the real McCoy. And as a part of me making you earn your keep, I'm going to have to pay even more. I mean, look, $35, $36, $37 million is going to be the going rate. Like, if I repped Hutch, I'm not taking less. I'm going to demand to be the number one paid defensive end slash edge in all of football. Well, what did Max Crosby's deal do? Ready? The highest paid non-quarterback in history. Full stop. That's the deal he just signed. So if you're a if you're the Lions, Rico, Kenny, David, and of course you out in listener land, how do you approach this? And obviously, you have a fifth-year option. You have the franchise tag as a weapon down the line. You have tools at your disposal. But I know there's great affinity for Hutch locally. And obviously, some of you dinglings thought he was going to play in the Super Bowl. The point is, you love the guy. Would you try to save some money and approach on a contract now? Or do you take the wait and see? He's got to come back and play, and it's going to cost me more money.
Right. I look at it as this. If Hutch is coming in demanding Crosby money, you can get rocks. I'll wait and see what you can do. And if I'll gamble, and if I lose, I'll be willing, I'll have to pay. But if Hutch, his people and I can realize this may be a fixer-upper. So let's negotiate here. And you're going to cover yourself because we're going to extend you and we're going to pay you, you know, an additional 3 or 4 years off of good faith that you'll be okay. We don't know what your leg's going to be like. If I'm the Lions and you can get Hutch to agree to that type of deal, I probably would because you'll save yourself some money. Now, if you're the Lions and you look at the medical report and say, ugh, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and play this out. And if we have to, maybe we just have to franchise him a year and then bite the bullet.
Well, you'd have the fifth-year option. You wouldn't have to do that yet. But right, I hear what you're
right.
saying.
Right, but if that's the case, I would... If I'm Brad Holmes, I'm probably going to ride this thing out, and if I have to, I'll franchise him and keep him around another year or just put him out on the market the way that Myles Garrett is right now because I need to see that he is fully healthy with that leg and he's able to come off the edge and put full torque on that and he'll be okay. So it's going to take – like we had the one caller say, it's going to take a while before he's 100% back where he's at. But the thing is, once you step out on the field, nobody wants to hear, well, you know, he's still kind of injured. You want to know why I know that? Because nobody around here gave Jordan Love any compromise. Well, he was bad. Whoa. He was on one leg. Well, he was bad, though.
Yeah, but he don't play for our team.
Yeah, that's true.
Aha. No, David, where do you line up on this? Like, would you try to sign him right now?
I would. I would definitely sign him now because you have guys like T.J. Watt that's going to want a new contract.
What does that contract look like?
If he gets that before Hutch, now the number goes up. And there are players like Rashawn Gary who's going to want a deal if that happens before then. So right now, I would lock him in now. And I hear what you're saying, Rico, about, you know, if he wants the money that Max Crosby gets, you're kind of backing away and saying, well, I'll wait and see. I think I would sign him to it right now because the money is going to just go up if these guys, other guys get a contract soon. So get them now.
David, it is. I understand. Is it, for me, if I'm Brad, I'm going to gamble on this knowing if he comes back and he's 100%, yeah, I'm going to look really stupid. And at that point, I'm going to be sitting outside saying, hey, at the locker room, hey, you want to sign this extension? You want to sign this extension? But right now, I need to see that. No, I'd rather be wrong and pay later than try to be right and cost effective and end up hurting this team.
And to David's point, Watt's going to enter the last year of a $34 million deal, which is not guaranteed. He will get a deal north of 35. And then whether it's Aiden or somebody else, I mean, you're going to be approaching $40 million a year. Yeah. 248-539-9797. Kenny, talk to me. What do you want to do with this, Kenneth?
I lean more towards what David is saying, primarily because, all right, let's say Hutch comes back and he's 80% of what he used to be. That's still a really, really good player. And if you sign him now, look at what happens with quarterbacks or any value position. You sign somebody right away and it's like, oh man, they gave him way too much money. All of a sudden, in 2, 3, 4 years, that contract looks like a value. That looks like a steal. The price is only going to go up.
So if you sign him now, if you extend him now, if you figure that out now, that's going to look really nice in a couple of years.
Kidding, you're right. I can't sit here and argue with you and David. My thing is, a year from now, if he comes back and he looks like, okay, he's going to be all right, it's first thing on my whiteboard. I got to get this guy re-signed. I got to get him extended. I got to do all that. But I need to see that you came back. This is a business, okay? He could be the greatest person in the world. But if you can't be productive, then I can't re-sign you. Because I got to look at what's best for the team and not what's best for you.
No, you're exactly right. And I want people listening to understand. I personally believe there's no right or wrong answer here. It's just preference. It's just preference. What would you prefer? Rico, you're not wrong whatsoever. I get that thinking. Wait and see. And yes, you know it's going to cost you. You definitely know it's going to cost you if it comes out and he's healthy and he goes out. Some ticket texter says if you go get Garrett, you sign him now, because if you go get Garrett, he's going to cost you $9 billion because he's just going to get a million sacks because Garrett is with him. So I understand that. It's just preference.
Right, but he comes back and he turns into Jadeveon Clowney. That's the other side of the coin, where he just keeps getting injured, and he's not that same person that you drafted him for. I know we all want him to be Hutch. The way we saw him, he was going to probably win the defensive MVP. But there's the other side of that coin, that if you sign him right now, oh boy.
I know. No. And listen again, I want to say this. Guys, don't be afraid to call as if there's right and wrong. There's not. It's just fascinating because we talked about this with Goff. And Rico and I, look, forget about Burger King hands and when he was with the Rams. And yes, I made fun of him. The man has come here and all he's done is work and help elevate this franchise. And I have. I've become a truther of Jared Goff. We were early buyers of the, let's pay this guy. You know, let's get this done because quarterback salaries are going nuts. Just understand what Max Crosby did yesterday, it wasn't in a vacuum. The articles now, if you go and look at Nick Bosa, there's already talk about how Nick Bosa's price just went up. How TJ Watt, his price just went up. And I mean, candidly, and again, Myles Garrett hasn't suggested this, but if you're going to extend Myles Garrett, his price just went up. Mm-hmm. Well, Aiden Hutchinson's price went up. The question is, what is your comfort in moving down the road with that? Now, I don't think you're wrong if you say, look, risk it, biscuit. Kid's an incredibly hard worker. He's young. It wasn't a compound fracture. You know, it wasn't Joe Theismann. If your doctors...
But you did break both the tibia and fibia.
Well, you know...
Leg went full limp noodle.
That's no way to talk about Kenny. Listen, No, Kenny, you've got limp white rumors at 4. It's an exciting reference. Well, we always talk about big black rumors, and now yours is...
This feels like strays left and right. I feel like this is a whole segment, maybe 2 segments, where I'm just stepping on a rake after rake after rake. Boom, right in the face. Boom, right in the face.
No, you and I are the hockey elite. We identified the Wings' number one target.
That's true.
And we're going to get to know him at 4 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
Kenny's even got the player he's going to trade.
Okay.
But for right now, I want to have the Hutch conversation. If you could sign him right now, if Hutch's people come to you, are you engaging in a long-term deal? Sight unseen. Has not played since breaking his leg. Because if you do wait, it is going to cost more. It's an interesting conversation. We'll continue it next. 97.1.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.